you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
My Bible's open to Colossians chapter 2, and I'll begin reading verses 9 and 10. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. More to say about that in just a moment. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 13th, 2016. And for the last number of weeks, my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffel, has joined me via the phone lines. But today you're going to hear his voice via the message that was recorded at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet this past Sunday, as Pastor Jason delivered a message on authority, one of those topics that sometimes is not preached much about. But I trust after listening to today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, the Wednesday and Thursday edition, some great light will be shed on this subject as we learn about the one true, only, ultimate authority, that would be God the Father. But before I set the stage for the broadcast, let me share a few announcements and an update to keep you in the loop on things. Let's see, this update goes well with the announcement that will follow. But for those of you that have been praying about our Great News Radio Center, we were formally announcing or mentioning it as an event center, but we realized it's going to be so much more than just hosting events that we were thinking about calling it a ministry center, but we thought it'll be much more than that, so we're just going to call it the Great News Radio Center, where Jesus is the center of all of its activities. And we've put together a little newsletter that'll be sending out soon, but we're still waiting on getting a lease agreement in writing. And then once we have that, look it all through, pray it all up, sign it, and return it, we'll have a more formal announcement with some great specifics. And so keep praying up the Great News Radio Center and how God will use it to extend His kingdom influence, power, and authority in the days ahead. Now, with that update, the announcement is you might have heard some radio spots already, but we will be sending out a newsletter along with a little flyer brochure that lists the 20 top reasons for moving forward in this project. And so that'll be sent out probably in 3 or 4 weeks to those that have financially supported or written the radio ministry in the last few years. And so if you're new to Great News Radio, or you haven't corresponded with us for at least the last year or two, and you'd like to receive this special mailing, it's really an exciting one, then we'll need you to call or write in so we can include you in this special announcement. Our phone number is 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. And for our great Indiana listeners, or maybe some of you logged on to our streaming audio at greatnewsradio.org and you live around the country, you can dial 1-888-333-9466 and let Karen or Bethany know that you want to make sure you're included in this upcoming special newsletter mailing. Now, if you rather write the old-fashioned way, our address is Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. And we'll make it a point to include you in the special announcement I wrote on our Great News Radio stationery, an announcement titled Great News from Great News Radio. And so we list how God is moving this project forward, our wish list, and some of the unique aspects on how over 20 years ago, a request for prayer and for a location like this was sent out in one of our first announcements back in 1994. It's almost 22 years ago. And we'll talk about that in the days ahead. But Mary Ann pointed that out to me a few days ago. She said, Mark, do you realize that this newsletter that we'll be sending out is somewhat prophetic to what you had requested and alerted the radio listeners way back in 1994? In fact, at that point, we weren't even on the air yet. It was still a dream to bring this radio ministry to East Central Illinois. And so we see God moving this dream forward according to His timetable, His plan, and His will. So if you want to receive that and you haven't donated or contacted the station in the last year or two, call us today at 217-367-7777. And finally, this Saturday night, Tribute Quartet, a nationally known Southern gospel group based out of Tennessee, will be making their East Central Illinois debut at the Crossroads Christian Church, 3613 North Vermilion in Danville, this Saturday night, July 16th at 6 p.m. You may have heard some of the announcements, but they'll be putting on a great concert, and we appreciate Les and those that are bringing this great group to our area. So that's this Saturday night, July 16th at 6 p.m. And if you want to get tickets or know more information, you can call Les Schluter at 217-841-3132. That's 217-841-3132. Well, as mentioned, Jason was preaching up a storm again this past Sunday on a topic oftentimes not addressed. And to be best equipped to go forward and share the good news message of Jesus, it's important to know about God's authority and the authority he has over us, the authority in his word, and the Spirit's authority working in and through us. And so I hope you can stay with me for the next 20 or so minutes and tune in again at the same time tomorrow as I've put Jason's 34-minute message into two parts so you can hear it in its entirety today and on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. Pastor Jason begins talking about a missionary named Del Tarr and Del's understanding of Psalm 126 after his experience in visiting Sahil, and he'll lay some of the groundwork of recognizing all authority comes from God and he is the only proper source of authority as we seek to tell the world about him. Here's Jason Schiffo, the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, delivering his Sunday morning message this past Sunday, July 10th.
Del Tarr says, "Until I went to Sahil, the vast stretch of savanna, more than 400 miles wide, just under the Sahara Desert," he says, "I didn't understand this psalm." He says, "What you have to know about Sahil is that all the moisture comes in a four-month period, in May and June and July and August. And he says, after that, not a drop of rain falls for 8 months. The ground cracks up from the dryness, and so do your hands and so do your feet. He says, the winds from the Sahara pick up the dust and throw it thousands of feet into the air. And it comes down slowly, drifting across West Africa in a fine grit." He said, "This dust, it gets in your mouth, it gets in your watch, and it stops your watch." And he says, "Of course, the food, all the food, must be grown in those 4 months. So people grow what's called sorghum and milo, and they grow it in small fields." He says, "In October and November in Sahil, they are beautiful months. The granaries are full and the harvest has come. The people, they sing and they dance and they eat two meals a day. The sorghum is ground between two stones to make flour and then mush with the consistency of yesterday's cream of wheat." He says, "The sticky mush is eaten hot and they roll it into small balls between their fingers and drop it into a bit of sauce and then pop it into their mouth." He says, "The meal lies heavy in their stomachs so they can sleep." He says, "December comes and the granaries start to recede. Many families begin not taking a morning meal. Certainly by January, not one family in 50 is still eating two meals a day. By February, the evening meal diminishes totally. The meal shrinks even more during March, and the children begin to succumb to sickness. You don't stay well on half a meal a day," says Del Tarr. He says, "In April is the month that haunts my memory the most. In it you hear the babies crying in the twilight. Most of the days are passed with only an evening cup of gruel. Then inevitably," he says, "it happens. A 6 or 7 year old boy comes running to his father one day with sudden excitement, screaming, 'Daddy, Daddy, we've got grain!' he shouts. And the dad says, 'Son, you know we haven't had grain for weeks.' 'Yes, Daddy, we have grain,' the boy insists. 'Out in the hut, you have to see it. It's where we keep the goats. There's a leather sack hanging up on the wall. And I reach my hand up, Daddy, and I put my hand in there. And Daddy, there is grain. Mommy can make flour. And tonight our tummies can sleep.' And the father stands motionless for a minute. He says, 'Son, we can't do that. We can't do that,' he softly explains. 'That's next year's seed grain. It's the only thing between us and absolute starvation. We're waiting for the rains and then we will use it. The rain finally will arrive in May, and when it does, the young boy watches as his father takes that leather sack from the wall and does what might seem to us to be the most unreasonable thing imaginable. Instead of feeding it to his desperately weakened and starving family, he goes to the field, and with tears streaming down his face, he takes that precious seed and he throws it away into the dirt. He scatters it into the dirt. Why does he do that? He does it because he believes in the harvest. He believes that the harvest will come. Do you believe the harvest will come? I'm not talking about grain growing in a field. I'm not talking about so that our bellies might sleep tonight. I'm talking, do you believe that the harvest will come? You know, when I ask people that question this past week and the week before when I was working on this, I generally will ask people questions. If you haven't been asked, watch out. I may ask you a question. When I ask them the question, this is what people would say to me. Well, what do I tell them? What do I have to tell them? You know, maybe you are single sitting in here and you're wondering, what do I have to tell a couple whose marriage is on the rocks? Maybe you don't have any kids and you're wondering how I tell my neighbor or my friend or somebody else who has kids how they can better serve and love their kids. Maybe you're wondering, what do I have to tell a coworker who's having trouble at work? What do I have to tell a family member who's struggling in a way I've never struggled? Maybe you're looking at the news and all the things that are going on in the world and you're wondering, what do I tell these people? What do I tell people? What do I have to tell them? That's such an important question. And so today I want to talk about authority. I want to talk about authority, so that we can get to that question. Now, authority defined by the dictionary is this: the right or power to command action or compliance, or to determine belief or custom, expecting obedience from those under authority, and in turn giving responsible account to them. You see, the concept of authority is woven throughout the fabric of the Bible. It's unmistakably obvious in Genesis chapter 1:1, where it says, in the beginning God created, all the way to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, when it says, yes, I am coming quickly, and everywhere in between. The idea of ultimate authority, of the sovereignty of God, is everywhere in the Bible. We as a church here have the third point in our statement of faith, which says this: we believe that God has spoken in the Scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, through the words of human authors, as the verbally inspired Word of God. The Bible is without error in its original writings, the complete revelation of His will for salvation, and the ultimate authority by which every realm of human knowledge and endeavor should be judged. Therefore, it is to be believed in all that it teaches, obeyed in all that it requires, and trusted in all that it promises. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, first, the Bible tells us, as we already just touched on shortly, for just a moment, that God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. I love how S.M. Lockridge, we watch his video every Easter, he says, that's my king. How many of you love that video? That's my king. S.M. Lockridge says of Genesis chapter 1, he says this: where did God come from? He came from nowhere. The reason God came from nowhere is that there was nowhere for Him to come from. Coming from nowhere, He stood on nothing. The reason He had to stand on nothing is that there was nowhere for Him to stand. And standing on nothing, He reached out to where there was nowhere to reach and caught something where there was nothing to catch, and hung something on nothing, and He told it to stay there. Now standing on nothing, he took the hammer of his own will and he struck the anvil of his omnipotence and sparks flew. He caught them in the tips of his fingers and he flung them into space and bedecked the heavens with the stars. But no one said a word. The reason no one said anything is that there was nobody to say anything. So God said, "This is very good." Second, God owns the earth because he created it. He owns the earth and all that it contains and all who dwell in it. Psalm 24:1 is the easiest pathway to understand this. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it." The earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord. Everything. Psalm 62 says, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that the power belongs to God." Matthew 28 and verse 18 says, Jesus declared all authority on what? Heavens and earth. God created the heavens and the earth. God owns the heavens and the earth. Jesus declared all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, what? Go make disciples of all nations. And this has been conferred unto us by Jesus. Jude says in chapter 1, there is only one chapter in the 25th verse, "The only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen." This is why Edward Moke could write the hymn and say, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Mote says, "I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Finally and thirdly, or thirdly and finally, in the end, God consumes all that he declared. All that God created by the very words that he spoke, God will consume at the consummation of all things when Jesus returns. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5, it says, "Behold, I am making all things new." The most important part there is that it says, "I am." No one else. God, by his authority and his power and his majesty, is the only one who will make all things new. And behold, those who doubt, "I am. Will make all things new." Romans chapter 11 and verse 36, "For from him and through him and to him all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen." The amen at the end is God's stamp of authority on Scripture, that it is his authority, it is his final word on all things. You can stand on that promise. Don't wholly lean on any other frame, no matter how beautiful it may look, but only on Jesus' name. What we need to understand is this kind of authority didn't originate outside of the Bible, but rather inside the Bible. It originated in here. That's where that authority comes from. Authority is not a secular concept that has somehow been co-opted by religion. We saw it and thought, this is a really good idea. We should start talking about authority. Authority originated from God's Word and from God Himself, who spoke with authority before there was anything else to be spoken. On the contrary, listen, authority is an element of the very person of God. The Bible rightly and properly teaches that authority has actually been shamefully distorted by the world and wrongfully employed in some places by religion. You see, I believe personally that the right idea, the biblical idea of authority has fallen on some pretty hard times. You know, we live in a culture where people believe that everyone have the right to do as they please. And we're so fearful that somehow we may infringe on someone else's rights that we find ourselves in the very precarious position that the Israelites were in chapter 21 and verse 25 of Judges, when it says, "In those days there was no king, no ultimate authority in Israel. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes." Let's pause for a minute there. There was no king, and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And everybody else was afraid to correct them. See, the core problem is that men and women desire to become their own authority. And in doing so, they're acting in the accordance of the same evil desires in which Satan tempted Eve and Adam in the garden. Looking at the forbidden fruit, the serpent said, "For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Essentially, Satan was telling Adam and Eve that they could become their own authority, able to define good and bad based on their own desires, their own impulses, and in effect, making themselves their own gods. They didn't need God to tell them what was right and wrong. They could decide that for themselves. And friends, this is the message of secularism. This is the message of the world. That you get to be your own God. It's born out of the belief that the highest authority in life, that's just you. You get to be the highest authority in your own life. You don't need God. You don't need the Holy Spirit. You don't need the Bible or the wisdom of the great cloud of witness to tell you what to do. But the problem, friends, is that authority is necessary. Authority is absolutely necessary. Without it, there will only be anarchy and there will only be chaos. Without authority in the home, a home will fall apart. Parents, can I get an amen? Yeah. Without authority in school, there will only be problems. Imagine what it would be like to go work somewhere where there's no one in authority. Where everybody just kind of get... Some of you are going, yeah, that's not too bad of an idea. Like, I kind of like that idea. You may like the idea of having no boss. But unless someone acts with authority, it'll be impossible for that business to flourish. It'll be impossible for your household to flourish. It'll be impossible for your relationship. It'll be impossible for anything to flourish. Without authority in the nation and the government, many citizens will act wickedly and no judgment for their actions. By the way, I just want to point out to everybody, that I wrote this message a week and a half ago. I didn't tweak, add, or edit anything last night because I didn't believe I was going to preach the headlines. But I'm going to preach the Bible, which knows what's going on in the world. Because it's the authority. People in nation and governments and citizens will act wickedly with no judgment on their actions. Authority is needed everywhere. And this is something that most people freely recognize. No group, no organization, no nation can function smoothly without somebody in a position of authority. And by the way, none do. The Pharisees recognized the need for authority when they asked Jesus about his teachings, didn't they? In Matthew chapter 21 and 23, they said to Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things and who gave you this authority?" Jesus didn't shout them down at that moment for asking and say, "Come on, there's no such thing as authority. Question authority. We don't need authority." Jesus in this moment didn't say to the Pharisees, "You legalists, you just want to be in authority." His response was to ask them about the authority for the baptism of John. He says, "Where was it from? From heaven or from men?" That's Matthew 21:25. See, Jesus pointed them to the true authority and gave even more support for the fact that we need authority. Why would Jesus ask about it if it wasn't necessary? Jesus fully recognized that authority for practices and teachings is absolutely necessary. This question also reveals that there's only two sources by which those practices and teachings can come from, either heaven or from men. That's what Jesus' question was, wasn't it? He said, "Where did these come from? From heaven or from men?" If not from heaven, then teaching must come from men. And the teaching that comes from men, I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't work. Up and against God's authority. What did Jesus say in Matthew 15:19? "For out of the heart of men come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, slander, sexual immorality, theft, and false witness." That's what comes out of the hearts of men, according to Jesus. Now, if you need any proof on that, I Googled an article recently because I was trying to figure out what the world thinks about authority. And there was a fascinating article that I found, and it said 9 ways to influence everybody around you without authority. Where you exercise no authority. This comes from People Talk magazine, and the author is Russell Horowitz. I want to run through just really quickly and correct the 9 points, just so there's no confusion.
Well, there'll be no confusion if you join me again at the same time tomorrow, as we'll continue right where we're leaving off today, and we'll learn about these 9 ways to influence everyone around you without authority. Well, we'll see how that works out as Jason has 9 different scripture verses that lay the groundwork of the biblical authority that we have, and it's not the ways of the world, but the ways of God. If you missed my opening remarks, my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, delivered a message this past Sunday, July 10th, at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, and I broke it into 2 parts. So we'll conclude his message tomorrow on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, allowing Joey to close out the week, sharing his cheery good disposition and various remarks on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. So make a note of that. Join me again tomorrow. And those of you familiar with Joey always being on Thursday, he'll be on Friday. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.